Okay, so we're continuing within Melacha Shem's Yircha Legufa, a nice, fun, easy topic for the midterm week. So Melacha Shem's Yircha Legufa, yeah, it is one of the hardest topics, and we kind of defined it a few different ways last week. Anybody remember the definitions that suggested? So Tosfot suggests Melacha Shem's Yircha Legufa.
The Mishkan.
It's always Mishkan, yeah, exactly. It's always Mishkan-based. So whatever they did in Mishkan, that's what the malacha has to be. If you're doing it for a different purpose, then it's no longer malacha tzricha legufa, it's malacha she'ena tzricha legufa. So for instance, if you decide to dig a hole for the purpose, not of the hole, because you want the dirt, then that wouldn't be like what they want in the Mishkan. The Ramban, Bala Mor have a similar-ish type of explanation where they think it's primarily about removing some type of nezek, or removing something that you don't want out of your possession, something that doesn't give you benefit. So it's kind of like the two major approaches. There might be like some nuances here and there, but that's kind of like larger goal, kind of different approaches to Melacha Shem Tzricha Legufa. What I want to talk about today is that one of the major questions about Melacha Shem Tzricha Legufa is, you know, we can talk about Melacha Shem Tzricha Legufa broadly in terms of like what it means, but every single case is going to be very dependent on like the case itself, like what exactly Melacha Shem Tzricha Legufa is. And part of that's going to be depending a little bit on how you define the malacha. So one of the questions that I want to first talk about in terms of Melacha Shem Tzricha Legufa brings us back to kind of our very first topic, which was Melacha Machshevet. Is Melacha Shem Tzricha Legufa part of Melacha Machshevet or not? So how to figure that out? One of the best places to figure it out is kind of through a test case. When we're going to come back to this probably rest of the year a few times. Chovel and Mavir. What's significant about Chovel and Mavir is that they are both cases where they don't seem to follow the standard rules of Melachat Machshevet. Take a look at the Gemara on source number 11. Somebody want to read?
Yeah, I can read.
The
Chovel and Mavir. Wait, what's Chovel?
Chovel means to the hurt, yeah, the damage. Chavala is, I'm trying to get the bruise. I'm trying to get the best English word for it.
Like in terms of shots?
Yeah.
Just to.
It means to, like, extract blood.
Okay.
Draw blood, I guess. Right, because what's so unique about Chovel and Mavir, about bruising or, you know, drawing blood, and Mavir, which is burning, is that if generally when it comes to Melacha on Shabbos, it has to be constructive,
mm-hmm.
Well, almost by definition, mm-hmm. bruising and fire are going to be destructive acts, right? So the Gemara says, at least according to one view, is that Mekalkel is Patur in everything except for Chovel Mavir. Chovel Mavir is no, like, Patur of Mekalkel. Okay, that's one view.
Amarlei, Puktani Livra, Chovel Mavir Eino Meshane.
So he said, go out, check outside, and you'll see that Chovel Mavir is no different from anything else. So if you're going to say it makes a difference, if you're going to say there's any difference, I'll give you a case where like it comes up where you could do something where it's not necessarily destructive, but it has a constructive purpose. So in case of Chovel, of bruising, so why would I need to have like bloody, you know, animal, you know, carcasses would be because I'm feeding my dog. Or in terms of burning, maybe I need the ashes.
For what?
What?
For what?
Maybe I have birds that I shechted that I need to cover up and bury.
Okay.
I mean, it could be anything. I don't know.
You like need ashes?
No, I'm saying even like,
sometimes they use it for writing, as a part of like writing material.
Like I'm saying on Shabbos, you can't do that.
Well, you need it for after Shabbos.
So it's constructive.
Well, I think it's constructive in general, yeah. I mean, it's an interesting question in terms of if it's constructive, like, when you have to use it for. But maybe you use it on Shabbos for, you're laying out a path. Maybe you're playing a game with it, with your kids.
The non-tanan, kol mekalkel, mavir, eino meshaneh.
Right, so there is a different bright on Mishnah that says the first Mishnah we just read was the Mishnah we have. So that we just quoted the view that the exceptions to Mekalkalim Pasur is Chovah L'Mavir. But the Mishnah, which was the thing cited at the very top, said that all Mekalkalim Pasur, and there's no mention of these exceptions. Right, so how do we explain the fact that there seems to be no exceptions? So the Gemara's suggestion is that the Mishnah that says there are no exceptions is Rabbi Yehuda, the Braita is Rabbi Shimon.
My time of the Rabbi Shimon, he did strich kra l'mishra?
Yeah, Mishra Mila.
Mishra Mila. Ha'chova ba'al ma'chayav. Chayav.
Right, so the fact is that Brit Mila is something which is presumably something you'd call destructive, right, because you're causing bleeding. And nonetheless, we need to have a special pasuk that teaches you that you're allowed to do a Brit Mila on Shabbat, you know, if it's Bismana. So that fact that there's an extra exception teaching about Brit Mila teaches that generally you would be Chayav, even though it's Mekalkel. So when it comes to Havara, so we have specifically a case of Havara for Bat Kohen, meaning the punishment of a Bat Kohen who breaks her chastity. What exactly the case is we could talk about. But either way, the punishment is Havara, like the case of Tamar. So that's why people talk about her Tamar being about Kohen. So either way, you see from there that Mavir generally would be Chayav, since you have to explicitly prohibit it. In that case, you can't give punishments on Shabbat. So either way, Rabbi Shimon is saying that based on all this, you can see that these are clearly not exceptional, and that they follow the typical rule. Sorry, they do not follow a typical rule, and yet nonetheless, you're still Chayav, even though they are destructive. That's Rabbi Shimon's art. That's the way the Gemara reads it, Rabbi Shimon.
Rabbi Yehuda hatametaken hu kederabbi Ashi. Amar Rabbi Ashi mali vatakein mila, mali vatakein kli, mali vashal betila, mali vashal simani.
So the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the answer is that, the response is that no, all of these cases are actually metaken. As in, even in Chovel and Mavir, the proof text you're trying to provide from mila and from burning are actually constructive acts, right? So Mila itself is a constructive act because you're, you know, fixing the physical body, and burning is also you're fixing, you know, you're cooking something, you're burning something constructively. So either way, we can talk about Chovel and Mavir more specifically, but what emerges from this Gemara is that there's certainly discussion about whether or not Chovel and Mavir are kind of exceptions to the general rule, at least when it comes to Mekalkel. Right? And we know that Mekalkel is a pretty standard Melechet Machshevet. Take a look, for instance, at the Gemara. We saw it before. Take a look at it again. On source 13. Gemara Chagiga.
Mekalkel isn't like an Melechet. It's
just like a concept. Mekalkel is like it's like Melechet Machshevet type of construct. It's a concept that means if it's destructive or not Chayav. Like that's a good example of me destroying something. Yeah, I mean, if I, like, rip stuff up, so I'm not necessarily chayav for it. I mean, it's going to be us or darbanan, but I'm not chayav either right for it. Or if I write in a way that, you know, like I'm a child who, like, scribbles over the walls. So, you know, it's presumably mekalkel the walls. So you'd be chayav midarbanan. So take a look at the Gemara in Chagiga, number 13. We've read this before. Do you want to read it? Okay, the Gemara says, Hilchot Shabbat Michtav Ketivan. Right, so remember, the Mishnah in Chagiga has a whole list of different things and says that Shabbat is Kisara Tluim Bisara, that it's like a mountain that's like hanging by a thread. So the Gemara says, what do you mean, Hilchot Shabbat? It's written out pretty explicitly. So we saw this just last week. The example that Gemara gives is this case, the classic case of digging a hole for the purpose of the earth, of the dirt, and not for the hole. So the Gemara says as follows: Kiman, who says that you're not put your potter for it? Rabbi Shimon, Amar Malacha Shin Tzirucha Legufa Potter Aleha. Great, so that all works out. Then the Gemara continues and says as follows. Afilu tamal Rabbi Yehuda, maybe even Rabbi Yehuda, who typically is in chayiv on melacha shein tzricha legufa, maybe in this case where you decided to dig a hole and you want the dirt and not the hole, so Rabbi Yehuda would say, hatam mitakin hacha mekalkilu. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda would say, even in this case, you still are going to be patur. Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda says you're patur if anything that is destructive and is mekalkel. And then the Gemara says, "Mai kihara tluin besara, melechet machshevet asrator, umlechet machshevet lo ketiva." So why is this whole discussion called, this, based on this Mishnah, that it's like something hanging by a thread? Because it's based on the construct of melechet machshevet, and melechet machshevet was not written in the Torah explicitly. So what exactly is melechet machshevet? What's the conclusion of this Gemara? What are the Gemara saying? The Mishnah says that Hilchot Shabbat are like, you know, are like a mountain hanging by a thread because they are a form of Melachat Machshevet. So what exactly is the case of Melachat Machshevet that they're referring to? According to the conclusion of the Gemara.
Like, is it talking about like the whole intentionality thing? Like, what do you mean?
Well, the Gemara doesn't talk about intentionality here. I mean, I guess it does in terms of Melechet Tzricha Legufa. Like, what is the Gemara saying is Melechet Machshevet Asrat Torah?
Is Melechet Machshevet
Melechet Tzricha Legufa? So, here's kind of the question. In this Gemara, there are two different concepts that are presented. The Gemara first suggests the concept of Melechet Hashem Tzricha Legufa. And so that works for Rabbi Shimon. And then the Gemara says, oh, even if you want to say it for Rabbi Yehuda, you can talk about it from the context of Mekalkel. And Mekalkel is another one of these Melachat Machshevet concepts. So which of the two of them is the Gemara's conclusion that they're calling it a Melachat Machshevet? Because, you know, the first one of Melachat Tzricha Legufa only works according to one opinion. The Mekalkel approach would work for both. Rabbi Shimon also agrees there's a concept of Mekalkel. They might disagree in terms of, you know, what has the exceptions. So what do you think the rule Melechet Machshevet applies to? Let me take a step back. Why does this matter, what's Melechet Machshevet or not? Like, why does this question matter in terms of, like, categories?
Because it seems like everything is it all flows from it?
Yeah, so first off, they're kind of like intertwined. So like some of the halacha we're going to see, like once you say Melechet Machshevet applies to one thing, then it applies, you know, to all of them. But also, Melechet Machshevet is specifically Shabbos. Only Shabbos has this concept of Melechet Machshevet. So when it comes to Melechet Hashem Tzricha Legufa, one of the questions that we have to kind of deal with is this a concept that comes up anywhere else, or is this very specifically a Shabbos-only concept? And if it's the only Shabbos concept, is that because of this general rule of Melechet Machshevet, because there's some type of like need for it to be based on your dot, your kavana matters, or is there like some other reason why Shabbos specifically, Melechet Tzricha Legufa matters? So one of the ways to be able to tell that is going to be in terms of understanding Melechet Tzricha Legufa in relationship to these other categories of Melechet Machshevet. Right? Remember, I think the second or third class, we went through like a list of a number of different things, of cases, that Melechet Machshevet comes up. So it comes up, for instance, in terms of Davar She'eino Mitkaven. Comes up in terms of like Grama and Shinoi. It comes up in terms of like Melechet Omenut. We spent a little while talking about like, you know, craftsmanship in terms of like the tying the knot and the writing. So we had a whole discussion about in terms of Melechet Machshevet. So the question is, Melechet Hashem Tzricha Legufa, is that kind of part of the same, you know, same discussion? So the way to figure that out, one of the good ways to figure it out, is going to be based on this question about Chovel U'Mavir. Because we saw that Chovel U'Mavir, at least according to Rabbi Shimon, are going to be Chayev despite the fact that it is Mekalkel. Which for most Rishonim means that if we want to take a look, for instance, at Tosfot, Tosfot therefore suggests Yesh Lomar, the Mit Asik, he's talking about Mit Asik, which is another form of Mit Asik, means like not having no kavan at all. It's another type of Melacha Machshevet. Shemit Asik, Shemit Kavan, Melacha, Lo Mifter B'Shavat, Ela Mishum D'Ein De Melacha Machshevet. Says the mitasek is specifically patar on Shabbat because of lech machshavet. When mishim hachi chayv Rabbi Shimon mitasek bechabura kmo mikalkel bechabura the mechayv Rabbi Shimon afal gav the late the ain the melechet machshavet. The Tosfos concludes based on that that mitasek, which is another category we're not talking about, but has to do with kavana. You're totally spacing out when you're doing the melacha. So so it must be that mitasek is not going to be patur. I mean, you are going to be chayav for mitasek within chabura and between chovel and for mavir, because it seems like Rabbi Shimon seems to be saying at large that there's no concept of lechem machshava when it comes to chovel and mavir. That's kind of Tosfot's suggestion here. So Tosfot doesn't mention lechem shein tzricha legufa in this context, but he does say explicitly that the rule of Chovel Umavir is that it's a pretty good test case as to whether or not something is Melacha Machshevet. Meaning, if there's like some special halacha that always applies but doesn't apply when it comes to Chovel Umavir, then that would be a pretty good indication of whether or not it's Melacha Machshevet specific or not. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the question. So is the concept of Melacha Shein Tzricha Legufa Melacha Machshevet or not? So if you take a look at source number 14, Tosfot on Chagiga makes the Tosfot in Shabbat, sorry, makes the following statement. He says as follows: V'tema, the sof parakama de Chagiga mashma deha de pater Rabbi Shimon melacha shehi enas yirch legufa haynu mishum debay melacha en machshevet. Tosfot understands that the Gemara, at least in Chagiga that we saw just a few minutes ago, seems to suggest that according to Rabbi Shimon, Melacha Shein Tzricha Legufa is part of Melachet Machshevet. And that's why, according to Tosfot, Imkein Bachabura, the Lobai Melachet Machshevet, Lichayev Ba Melacha Shein Tzricha Legufa. So he has a problem with the case in the Gemara. We're not going to look too long in what the case actually is. But Tosfot has this question about, I don't understand the case in the Gemara since Rabbi Shimon should say, Yerchayev. Because at the end of the day, we said, Melacha Shein Tzricha Legufa. So we said, any Melachet Machshevet is going to be chayav even in chabura, and so that should be true also from lacha shein tzricha legufa. Right, so Tosfot's coming in with this like approach that it must be the melacha shein tzricha legufa must be, sorry, melacha shein tzricha legufa must be a type of melacha machshevet.
Wait, chabala is melacha machshevet or not?
So chavala and Chovel and Mavir
yeah.
are two of the 39 Melachot that the Gemara we saw in Kuvav seems to be saying are kind of exceptions, at least according to Rabbi Shimon, to the typical rules of Melech and Machshevet. Meaning that you are Chayav. Usually Melech and Machshevet would be a reason to be Pater, meaning if you don't have the requirement of Melech and Machshevet because it's Mitasik, meaning you don't have Kavana, or because you are Mikalkel, or because it's not Melachet Omenut, or any of the things we talked about before in terms of you're not reaching this like higher level of Melachet Machshevet, you'd be Pater. Except for Chovel Umavir, where do you be Chayav?
Because they're like definitionally...
Yeah, definitionally they're always destructive.
Okay.
So we're going to have almost like a lower standard for them. You know, it's almost like, you know, to be able to be culpable for, I mean, this is exactly true, but to be culpable for, I don't know, first degree assault, mm-hmm. you have to, in, you know, American legal jurisprudence, you need to have a certain level of intentionality and whatever it is, but to be culpable for, like, arson, the level is much lower.
Premeditated.
Yeah, in terms of, like, you know, it's a little bit different, so.
So then this post was saying that because we're saying Chovela and Mavir, or Chovela and Mavir are not Melech and Machshevet, so therefore they are Melech HaShein HaTzricha Legufa.
So Tosfot seems, so we saw, so let's take a step back. So the Gemara in Chagiga, right, we saw, links, has a discussion about Melacha Shein Tzricha Legufa, then has a discussion of Mekalkel, and then says that something is a type of Melacha Machshevet. So the question that kind of is raised, is Melacha Shein Tzricha Legufa an example of a Melacha Machshevet or not? Right, you have this concept of Melech and Machshevet. Is Melech HaShein Tzricha Legufa part of Melech and Machshevet or not?
Or is it like parallel?
Or is it something different? Something different, some other reason. So, for instance, where this comes, so I'm explaining a little bit what the other option is. So what would the other option be? So the Tosfot what we saw seems to be kind of coming under the assumption that it must be that Melech HaShein Tzricha Legufa kind of has to be Melech and Machshevet. But if you take a look at the Shita Mekupetzet in source 15, The Shinriku Benset has a whole different reading of this whole sugya, and says that the reason you're chayav here is not because Malachat Machshevet is about, so Malachat Shizukufa is Malachat Machshevet. Rather, the whole context here is because of Mikalkel. That's the way he reads this whole sugya. And instead, then, the way to read this whole sugya, right, so that's kind of one way of starting. So Mishnah Megillah said it's reading kind of the way we just read Tosafot. So how else would you read this Gemara? What else would Malacha Machshevet be? Let me take a thought. What else would Malacha Shnei Yerucha Legufa be if it wouldn't be a category of Malacha Machshevet? Right, what else would the Pastor be based on? Well, no, Mekalkel is like the strong. Mekalkel is definitely Malacha Machshevet. Yeah, the Gemara makes it pretty clear in a few places. So. And then, let's say it's other words, so it makes it a little bit clearer. The concept of being a destructive act, the reason you're not liable for that on Shabbat is because it's not considered to be a constructive act. And only constructive acts, called Melachat Machshevet, is going to be liable on Shabbat. We have this other category of things called Melachat Shein Tircha Legufa, things which are done for the wrong purpose, or a different purpose. And the Gemara says you're not chayav for them. Is that because, option A, because they're not part of the right intentionality, you're not thinking about it the right way, similar to Mekalkel, or is it because of something else? So what would that something else be? So take a look at, for instance, the way that, it's actually pretty clear, take a look at the way that Beit Yaakov, who's a Nesivos, Thor 16, he has the whole reading of Tosfot, and at the very end of the line, he says as follows, Ve'al Kain, Sarich Lomar, this is the third line, middle, Da'atam b'melachah shirin tzirich legufa, lav de mishum de bi'ina melachah machshevet, rak mishum de lo have dumya de mishkan, ve'lo chashiv melachah klal. The reason that melachah shirin tzirich legufa is patur is not because it's not melachah machshevet, because your intentionality is wrong. Because at the end of the day, like, you are thinking about the melachah itself. It's a constructive act, where when I dig a hole in the ground for the dirt, I am doing the exact same act, right? I want, and I know what I'm doing. I know I'm potentially digging the hole. The only thing different is that I'm concentrating on the wrong part. Like, if you had to ask me why I'm doing it for something slightly different than what, you know, other people might have wanted it for. But the act itself I'm thinking about, it's not like some consequence of what I'm doing. The act itself is not necessarily destructive. So that's kind of the question here. Why would you be putter? So instead, a second suggestion would be that it could be that Melach HaShirin Tzirich Legufa is not so much about Melach HaMachshevet, but rather it's about fitting into the concept of what the Mishkan happened. Why? Because if you don't fit within that construct, then it's not a Melach at all. Meaning we know that there are 39 Melachot. Anything which is not one of the 39 Melachot is not necessarily Aser. And so if we find a way to kind of avoid having the Isser to begin with, if we're so different than what the Melacha was in the Mishkan, then it's not going to be Aser at all. So I know it's a little bit difficult to say, but what I'm kind of trying to point out is that there are effectively these two ways of looking at Melacha Machshevet. Option number one is it's about your intentionality, that there's something about Shabbos as a whole that intention is matters, and we don't have the intentionality, then it's something specific about Shabbat that you're off. Or that it's not about Melach HaMachshevet, it's about the fact that if you're having the wrong intention, you didn't do the Melacha at all. Like, you just did a totally different thing. And the intentionality defines the Melacha. It's not just, like, some side component. Let's give you a few examples to kind of clarify a little bit what that means. So, for instance, in the case of Gozes. So we talked about this a little bit last week. What's Melacha of Gozes?
Shearing.
Right, so what's an example of shearing? So shearing literally would mean often, you know, shearing wool from a right, so the example we talk about was cutting your fingernails. So take a look at the Mishnah on source number 18. So when you want to read source 18.
Yeah, okay. Mishnah. Hanotel tipurnav zogozo. O bishinav. Vichin saro. Vichin sapamo. Vichin zignav. Vichin ha kodela. Vichin ha koch.
Okay, so if you cut your fingernails with each other, you know, one, you know, with the other, or with your teeth, or alternatively, if you cut your hair, or your sfamo means like your mustache, or your beard. Rechena godelet, godelet means like braid your hair. Kochelet is like put on like eyeliner of some sort. And poseket is something else that I'm looking at. Some other like makeup related specific thing. And I'm forgetting exactly what it is. Either way, all of these cases, Rabbi Eliezer is mechayev, and Rabbi Chacham say you're only aser mishum shvut, which is another way of saying it's aser midrabanan. Okay, so you have machloket about this. We're going to focus on not the second cases, but the first case about the finger, about cutting your fingernails. Take a look at the Gemara. The Gemara says as follows.
Are all of these malachot supposed to be like the same type of
malachot? No.
Is this a random thing you can't do?
Yeah, because definitely kochelet is probably tzoveya. Godelet is probably bona.
So why are they all together?
Because it's the baby to Nebuchadnezzar and Chachamim. The Gemara has a little bit of discussion why they link together. Is there something that relates to them?
Mm-hmm. Oh, the Gemara?
Yeah, take a look at that one. Yeah, that one line.
Amara the Elazar.
Yeah.
Look at the yad about the kli chayav.
Meaning,
like if I bite my nails is different than if I use a nail.
Yeah, meaning everyone. Rabbi Eliezer saying that everyone does a machloket between Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer about whether or not if you cut your fingernails with your teeth or by hand. Whether it be chayav or whether it's only aser midrabanan, but everyone agrees, meaning all opinions agree that if you cut your nails on Shabbat with a tool, then you are chayav. Okay? So that's the agreement. Now, do you remember what the question was about this? We talked a little bit about last week. Like, what's the problem with this Gemara? Or what's the, you know, thing that's a little bit so obvious about gozes?
Is it like
no one's
using your fingernails to do anything?
Yeah, yeah. So gozes in the Mishkan, yeah. So gozes in the Mishkan was you specifically you're cutting off shearing the sheep's hair, the wool, because you want to use the wool because you want to use it for clothing or whatever you're using it for, but no one uses, you know, except for serial killers, uses fingernails. So how would this possibly be? Chayav, shouldn't this be a malacha shen tircha legufa? This should be a pretty classic case. So take a look, for instance, what does Tosfot answer? Source number 19. So want to read it?
Wait, shouldn't it be a malacha shen tircha legufa?
Meaning this should be a case where you're doing it for the wrong purpose.
Oh, and so like, we should redefine.
Yeah, and then whatever your definition of lachat l'gufa is, whether it's the Tosfot definition of the based on the Mishkan,
yeah.
Whether it's like a Ramban Balamor, it's based on like wanting something versus not wanting something.
Right, like it just doesn't fall under.
Right, like either way, you don't really want this thing. It's like, why you shouldn't be chayav. So, you know, why should you be chayav here? So take a look. What does Tosfot suggest? So Tosfot says follows. So Tosfot 19, Aval Bikli, Dirmat Chayav, Hainu Kurab Yehuda, Demechai, Bonacha, Shein, Tzircha, Legufa. So what's Tosfot doing there?
Wait, you are Chayav because it's a Bonacha, Shein, Tzircha, Legufa.
Right, but he's saying whose opinion is this like?
Rabbi Huda.
And generally, do we pass him like Rabbi Huda? No. I mean, the Rambam does, which we'll talk about. But according to everyone else, we don't. So what's effectively Tosfot saying?
That you're not chayav.
Yeah, so this whole Gemara that has a discussion about cutting your fingernails being chayav is actually not lalacha. It's only according to Rabbi Huda, and it's according to Tosfot, we don't pass him like Rabbi Huda. So, for instance, Shulchan Aruch, I don't remember what Sima this is. Shouldn't be Zion? I don't remember anymore. The Shulchan Aruch, when it has a discussion about cutting your fingernails, according to Tosfot at least, it should say it's only Aser Midrabanan. Because that's what we would pass again. Malacha Shein Tircha Legufa. But in practice, others say no, it really would be Aser Doraita, Because Chachamim, well, at least a simple reading of the Gemara, Rabbi Lazar, who's in Amora, seems to be saying that everyone agrees that cutting your fingernails with like a nail clipper is asur miraita. So how else do you explain this Gemara if you don't take Tosfot's approach?
Meaning if you don't say it's
Malacha
Shein, or you don't say...
And then Tosfot dealing, there's a problem. We have this general concept of Malacha Shein Shilcha Gufa, and this seems to be a pretty good case of it. So how could you possibly be chayev? Tosfot says, I'm going to create this big lukimta. I'm going to suggest that the Gemara itself has become almost cut in half. That the Gemara is saying this general principle, actually in truth, that general principle is only according to like one specific opinion. Right? Tosfot's almost like redefining the whole Gemara. And much more, like limiting it significantly. Right? Such that the halacha, Tosfot would say, we don't pass on like this. But others do pass on like this. In fact, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, and I'm trying to remember what siman it is, the halacha is that if you are not allowed to cut your fingernails on Shabbos with a nail clipper, and you would be it's also me the right to do so. That's what we Paskin. So how can you explain that, even though we say halacha shein tzricha l'gufa? So take a look at the way that the Rivash is a Rishon who lived in the 1300s in Spain, and so he has as follows. He has like a whole long discussion. It's a very long tshuva. And in the middle of the discussion, at some point, he starts talking about the cutting off hair. And he says as follows. I'm going to start reading from... I guess I'll start from the beginning. When it comes to like cutting off hair, or I guess it's ripping off hair, you're also being nana, you're benefiting from that. Even though when you cut your hair, or you rip out your hair, you don't use your hair anymore. You're not like, donating it for a wig or something. It's still considered to be usher because you're benefiting. Why? I'll give you a proof to that. I'll give you proof from cutting your fingernails. Because even though when you cut your fingernails, you don't need your fingernails, but rather they get thrown out. Everyone agrees that you are chayav. Why? Sheharei hanetila hi hamalacha v'chein basear. Because the first answer the Rivash suggests is why you be chayav according to Rabbi Shimon, because the malacha of gozes is defined as malacha of netila, not malacha of like kibbutz or like gathering. The malacha itself is the actual act of cutting or fixing the body in some way. Right, we saw this a little bit similar to the Ramban last week, makes kind of a similar argument, that you had if you redefine the malacha, this is how you explain it's not malacha shein tzricha l'gufa. Right, so notice what the Rivash here in his first answer is doing, is that he's almost kind of like redefining the whole malacha. Like you thought the malacha of gozes meant to shear and collect and desire and use, whatever the shearings were cut off. And Rivash is saying, no, the malacha has nothing to do with whatever's left off. We don't care about that. The malacha itself is the very act of cutting. Right, so his move here, effectively, is to redefine the malacha. A little bit later, he gives a second answer, and he says as follows. Skip me a little bit. Skip to like six lines down. End of the line, he says, he repeats his argument. And then he says as follows. V'nira lomar, another possible answer. Gamkein, they have shata lohavi b'mishkan rak b'tzorech ha'or. Then when it comes to taking off hairs in the Mishkan, it was only for the purpose of leather. V'imkein, ikar melechet hapshata hi l'tzorech ha'or, b'chol ha'or shenifsad patur. So in general, when it comes to the melacha of removing hair, you have to specifically want like what's remaining. Aval, but when it comes though to gziza, when it comes though to shearing, haita b'mishkan shelo l'tzorech ha'semer v'ha'se'ar. There was an example in the Mishkan where what you needed was not the byproduct of the hair, but rather what you needed was kind of like the scalp or the finger that now is fingernailless. Because where did that come up? It came up when it comes to the hair of the tachash, where you would have to skin the hair, you'd take off the hair, you'd clip off the hair, and now you'd have a clean leather, hide that you could be used for your curtains. So Rav Ashi's second answer, kind of taking a step back and saying, we don't have to redefine the malacha. I'm just going to give a simple answer that the malacha itself in the Mishkan was different than what you think it was. Okay, so what I'm trying to show in this malacha is we're not learning too much about gozes. It's more just an example where effectively what we see is that the Rishonim reach a problem, because it seems like we have an example of something which is malacha shirin shichal gufa, and the solutions are either A, we just have to kind of limit the case itself entirely, say it's only about, it's only according to Rabbi Yehuda, or alternatively you kind of have to redefine the malacha entirely. And that's the way the Rav Ashi does, and he kind of does it in two different ways. Either redefining what happened in the Mishkan, or redefining kind of the definition of the malacha. Okay, anyone kind of follow what up so far we did so far? Okay, hopefully it'll be clarified a little bit. We'll do kind of almost the exact same thing with a different malacha. Take a look at source number 21. We'll come to the malacha of Kotzer. It was almost the exact same thing.
What's
Kotzer? Kotzer is harvesting. So more I'll read source number 21.
Mara kahana, zomer v'tzarif v'yitzim, chayam sh'taim, achat mishim kozer v'achat mishim noteah.
So what zomer means pruning. So if you're pruning a tree, and you also need the wood.
Yeah, what's pruning?
Like pruning is like, pruning is like you cut off...
The weeds.
No, not necessarily. No, that's de-weeding, I think, or what it's called. De-gnoming? There's a word for that. No, pruning is like you're cutting off certain parts of the tree because like that way it'll grow better.
But not the weeds, I guess.
Well, no, because weeds
so
like
you cut off like part of like a branch so that like that branch then
grows bigger. Yeah.
I thought that's why we cut out weeds because it like
grows. It also, but it's a different. It's a like nobody uses
like
the
not
weeds.
Not removing something like the weeds are harmful, so you're like removing something harmful as opposed to just like cutting off part of the tree so that it like more.
Yeah. You could say the same type of case. It was in the Gemara's case, but you could say the same case if you were taking out weeds and you needed the weeds because you were going to brew some type of tea or something. Either way, it would be the same type of case. So the Gemara says, in that type of case, you'd be chayiv twice. Why? One time because malacha of kotzer, and one time malacha of noteah. Right? Because one thing you're doing is you're encouraging plant growth because you're getting rid of the weeds, or you're, in this case, you're pruning, so you're helping the tree grow better. And also, you chayiv for kotzer, which is harvesting, because you are gathering firewood. Okay? Is there a problem with that? That's the Gemara's conclusion. That's the way we paskin. Is there anything you notice about this particular case that should be problematic within the context of malacha shirin shichal gufa?
What if you want the wood only, and you don't care that the rest grows?
Well, in this case, you want the tree. You want the wood.
You want both.
You definitely want the wood.
No, but what if you don't? You don't care if the tree regrows.
Yeah, so it sounds like the Gemara is saying you don't really care about the tree. Like you just happen to be de-weeding or whatever it is because you want the weeds for tea. That's a word for it. It's not de-weeding. That's a lot. It sounds a lot fancier than that. There's a nice word for it. But either way, so you're pruning, but you're not really, the act itself is pruning. What you're taking is like, the gardeners have like shears, like there are specific scissors that gardeners have to prune. And you're doing that, you're using the exact same utensil, but your goal is not because you're trying to prune the tree. You actually could care less about this tree. You're leaving, you're never going to come back. You just want to be able to cut the tree because you want some firewood. So in that case, the Gemara says you're chayiv twice, but when it comes to the malacha of kotzer, of gathering, so there you're doing the malacha of kotzer, as predictable. You're trying to gather. You are gathering wood. Everything's great. No reason to be potter. But when it comes to the malacha of noteya, of planting or encouraging plant growth, so it's true that you're cutting off the tree branch, but which will encourage plant growth, but you don't care about that. That's not why you're doing it. Right? Shouldn't this case be the exact same thing as the case of, the person who digs a hole in the ground, not for the hole, but for the dirt? Shouldn't this be almost exactly the same thing? Right?
But what's the malacha of the hole?
Well, that'd be because of Horesh.
Horesh
frustration than the get.
Well, you just want the dirt because you want dirt for whatever.
But is wanting dirt a malacha?
No.
So that's still only one malacha over there. It's not two.
Yeah, so it's not, I'm saying there, it's a little bit different in terms of one. But the point is that in that case, that's the classic case. Yeah, and then that's the classic case of Malacha Shri Yitzhak Lagufa, where according to Rabbi Shimon, you're not chayv at all. And you're chayv mitrabana, but you're not chayv at all. Here, you're right that you should be chayv for something. You should be chayv for kotzer, but you shouldn't be chayv twice. You should only be chayv once. Does that kind of make sense? Okay. So that's kind of the typical question. This type of question is pretty similar to the one with Gozes. It's almost the exact same type of question. It's a little bit different. And this is the type of question that comes up all the time in Sechet Shabbat. So what are the possible answers? So what do you guys think off the top of that? What do you think of answers you could get to this problem?
Well, you can get wood in ways that aren't pruning.
You can get wood in ways that aren't pruning, and therefore... you're saying because you're doing it in this way?
Yeah, like pruning's technical.
I think because you're using a material? Interesting. But you're still, that's still not the goal of what you're doing it for. You're saying that the very fact that those materials, though, like, are indicative of, you know, a separate purpose?
Like, if you want firewood, you can cut an entire tree down, like, and use, like, cut the whole thing and, like, prune also.
Yeah, you could do that, but it's, like, internal in terms of, like, harvesting wood, like, you're going to have to cut something down. You're going to have to do the same kind of act. Here, it's just you're not cutting the whole tree, you're only cutting part of it. Well, what was, like, Tosot's answer in, like, the last case in Gozes?
To just remove it was, like,
Yeah, so one possible way of doing it is to kind of make the same lukimta. It's not a very good lukimta. It kind of proves, if you're forced to give this type of answer, it kind of proves that, like, you have no better answer. But, like, if you look at source 22, Tosfos Rid makes the same thing. He says, this whole sugya, ayin, lekaman, perakit ve'akodesh, shekatafti, delo atya elek Rabbi Shimon, that this whole sugya doesn't apply according to Rabbi Shimon, it only applies according to Rabbi Yehuda. Because according to Rabbi Shimon, this should be a case of Malacha Shri Yitzhak Lagufa. So that's with regard to, that's one possible answer. However, take a look at the way that Tosfot on that page suggests this answer. I'm going to read source
23. Mm-hmm.
I explained the problem a little bit. I explained it kind of backwards, so let me fix the problem. The question here in the Gemara is actually the other way around. It should be that this Gemara only works for Rabbi Shimon, not for Rabbi Yehuda, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara seems to say that you need to have to be chayav for zomer, you need to want the trees. Sorry, for malacha of kotzer, you need to want the trees. Let's say I don't want the trees. I don't care about the wood. But I still cut off wood. So in theory, that's still chayav in the malacha of kotzer. Right, the very act, kotzer doesn't actually mean you have to gather it. It just means that you're, kotzer just means like you're cutting something off of its, like, source of growth. Like the Grizzly Gemara on something of hay that has a discussion about, like, if you kind of graphic, but if you if you pull an animal, if you pull a fetus out of an animal, so that would also in theory be Malachav Kotzer, because you're, at least according to one reading, because you're pulling, you're separating some growth from its source of nutrients. Yeah, it's one way of reading it. We can talk about it, you know, at a different time. But either way, that's Malachav Kotzer is not about actually gathering it. So the question here is, why, according to Rav Kahana, do you need to do both things? You need to want to prune and also want to actually want the tree, the wood, in order to be chayav for Kotzer. Either way, you should be chayav for Kotzer just from having pruned. Every time you prune, regardless of why, like the gardener who's pruning my bush just look nice and make it in different shapes or whatever, should be high for Kotzer every single time, according to Rabbi Yehuda at least, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, you don't need to care about, you know, the purpose. The purpose doesn't matter. So for Rabbi Shimon, I do care about the purpose. It has to be Tzricha Lagufa. I have to want the item. I have to want, you know, the shearings. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, I really shouldn't care. So one answer, Tosfos Rid's answer was, oh, you're right, this whole Gemara was only according to Rabbi Shimon. That was one answer. Tosfos, though, gives a different answer. And Tosfos's answer is that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, when it comes to the malacha of Kotzer, Kotzer itself requires you to be a malacha Tzricha Lagufa, by definition. Otherwise, it's not the definition of malacha of Kotzer. Because if all you're doing is you're pruning, and you have no intention to actually want the thing that's cut off, then it's not Kotzer. It's not just malacha Tzricha Lagufa. It's not Kotzer at all. And Tosfos gives a few examples of similar things. So, for instance, Tosfos gives the example of, at the second page, he gives the example of kvasim ve'achat shlakot shesachtam legufan mutar l'man chayav chatat, which means that, like, cooked items. Or let's say you cook, what's like very watery, like you steam some type of vegetable, broccoli or something. You steam broccoli. And then, once you're at your meal, you're like, you know what, like, I really don't like my broccoli to be moist in any way, so what am I going to do? I'm going to, like, squeeze out all of the liquid from the broccoli, or whatever, you know, makes it sound a little less disgusting. So the Gemara there says, if you're doing that for the purpose of the object itself, not because you want to squeeze out water, but you actually, all you want is just to have super dry broccoli, so that's mutter. Why is that mutter? Because the Gemara says, in that case, it's not just the malacha shein tzricha legufa, it's that the malacha itself hasn't happened. The malacha there would be malacha of disha, of extracting, of you're taking out, you know, something from, like, you know, if I squeeze liquid out of an orange to make orange juice, then that would be chayav for disha, because I want the liquid. So, in this case, I don't have any interest in the water that comes out. Right.
But what if you have, like, I don't want the water?
Like, in which case?
That, I mean, I guess that is what you're
That's
saying.
What we're doing. You don't want the water here. That's what we're talking about. I don't want the,
you're
like...
You're not indifferent about it. You don't want it.
Yeah, I'm going to throw it down the drain.
I want that I don't want it.
What?
I want that I don't want it. It's fine. I mean...
You don't want it because it's because, like, of Shabbos?
No, like, I want my broccoli to be dry, so I don't want the water. So it's, like, a negative that I don't want the water, but, like, I want...
I want this malacha. I'm definitely doing it because I want to do this.
Yeah,
but I don't want the byproduct. I don't want the water. And that's the malacha. Yeah. Malacha of
the
disha.
The byproduct is also dry broccoli, not just the water.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, that's all you want. You don't want the water. You want just the dry broccoli.
So, like,
for me to be chayav in disha, I have to want what comes out.
Right.
So I have to want the juice that comes out of the orange.
So, like, let's say, like, if you shower on Shabbos, whatever, and, like, then, and your hair is, or my hair is wet.
Yeah.
I can squeeze my hair and take out all the water.
So it would definitely be malacha shein tzricha legufa. Now, malacha shein tzricha legufa is usually asur derabanan, so.
Oh, okay.
But you're right, that it's an interesting case. That would be, like, a good example of that type of thing.
No, like, you can, like, I thought that, I mean, okay, there are a lot of different, like, problems with showering, but I thought, like, one of the main ones was also, like, squeezing out your tail and squeezing out your hair and everything.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's exactly, and it definitely is one of them. So,
it's still also derivative. It's just not derivative.
Yeah, no, it's definitely also derivative. Almost all of the shower concerns are almost all of them are derivative. I guess maybe a bar of soap No, but even that doesn't make alcohol because you're getting rid of the soap. But yeah, but I'm saying even if you did use a real bar, it still didn't make alcohol. Yeah, I don't know if I need to write those you'd be high up in. Maybe Bishel, but that's too many things happening. It's also, yeah, right up on too. I don't know. I can't think of it.
I don't know all the moving parts about showering, but I thought like the thing was like you can't squeeze your towel.
Well, that's one of the concerns. Right. Yeah.
Water,
yeah.
Fine.
Yeah,
that too.
Yeah, yeah. So that's one of the. Towel. Yeah. So one of the
Like they're swimming.
They're like air drying. Yeah, everything is air drying, and like your hair is like can't touch your hair. It's like right.
Yeah. No. One of the concerns. No, you're absolutely right. One of the concerns. I mean, this is about squeezing out liquid, especially that's collected in hair. Yeah. No, absolutely. So that's why it's, you should speak to whoever post-it you want, but it's, but squeezing out liquid has to squeeze out into, like, it has to, like, remain in liquid form to be chayav. So if you, like, use a towel and, like, the towel gets wet, like, you pat down your hair, that's very different than squeezing.
Into, like, a sink.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, you might want to squeeze if you have a lot of hair and it's very wet, but in terms of, in theory, if you could get your hair dry enough just by, like, patting it down, then there wouldn't be an issue.
There wouldn't be an issue?
No.
Like, no. If you, like, turban twist?
No. You turban twist, that's not a problem, yeah.
Okay, let's get started. Yeah, I feel like...
No, it would not be a problem.
I thought
that
would be, like, more of a problem.
No, no, because the point is it never leaves as water.
Hair,
yeah. Yeah.
Why can't you submerge your head fully? What's that?
What?
There are people I know who say you
can. Well, that's the same thing.
But you can't submerge your head fully. Like, you can't go completely under the water.
That's because of bathing. There's a concern about bathing on Shabbos.
Oh, bathing is different than shower?
According to some, it is. According to some, it isn't.
Is bathing Doraita?
No, it's their bottom. It's like Zera. I'm happy to give a whole shiur on bathing. definitely not as like Melacha Vashavah related, but we can definitely talk about bathing. It only comes up more on Yontif than really than Shabbos, just because Shabbos really you're gonna have hot. Well, Shabbos you're gonna have more of a hot water problem anyways.
Yeah,
so right. Unless you like showering cold.
Yeah.
But Yontif, in theory, the water problem is not as big an issue.
So what? The issue is still just the.
So then there are potential other issues, yeah. Comes from swimming, you can't swim on Shabbos.
I'm not swimming in the shower.
That's party friends. Who but it's like. A spoon, and then they wash the spoon, and then
that's allowed. Oh, yeah? Interesting. I've never heard that one.
And then it's like a different version that you're like washing a dish. So their whole family takes a dish into the shower and also washes the dish.
That's really interesting.
So weird.
I've never heard that. That's really interesting.
What?
That's
good one.
That's really interesting.
But, I'm kidding.
Fascinating, interesting. Never heard that. I'm happy to talk about the bathing if you want. I actually think, depending on who you ask, you'll get more makel or machmer shitas. Yeah.
Right. Posek shopping.
Yeah. I should tend to be more makel on that than like.
Or Vermont told us to go posek shopping. It's my favorite thing. Okay, we were like having this. Not really. This is what we said. We were having like a.
Told you to do it?
I'll explain. I remember it because it was like revolutionary. He like came to one of our Benot Chul.
Yeah.
Like, we had a one-on-one with him Q&A, and someone asked like, if, like about Yom Tov in Israel. Like, if I know a rabbi is going to tell me I can do one day versus I know a rabbi is going to tell me to keep 2 or 3 days,
right.
Like, can I go to that guy? And Rabbi Ramon responded, "Well, you know what it says in Pirkei Avot? It says." When we say obviously we're not saying like only have one friend, like it's implied that it's plural. So similarly, like it's implied that like you could have multiple rabbis that you like ask Shiloh to. And so
like he told us but it was like
not shopping, but
like go to Rabbi Moan on Kashrut. He's like the Rav on Kashrut, not a different Rav on something else. Different Rav, not like different Ravs for the same thing.
Okay, but the Rav. So the,
oh, I wouldn't go to Rabbi Moan for Kashrut unless you want to be Machmir. He's famously Machmir on Kashrut. Well, some things he's very much.
The only thing is, Mikulon actually for like 3 days versus 1 day or 2 day, whatever. It was like if you're single and you think you can find your husband and you'll stay in Israel, then you can keep one day. And I'm like, look, I'm not close to the ideal. Like, <I'm... laughs>
whatever. That's funny.
But that's what he said. So it's not shopping, but it's like under. It is a little bit of like not going to the same rabbi each time.
Yeah, we can talk about it. It's like a little bit of a meta issue. It's a meta question. Comes up a lot. Either way, showering is a classic example. Well, different people have different hygiene standards, and some people also have like different historical standards. Israelis don't really know what 2-day yom tov means. Mm-hmm. If you ask like my father-in-law, he'll tell me every time I've heard someone raise a question, he's like, "Well, my father, meaning his father, didn't shower for 5 years in the 1940s. So, like, what are you complaining about?"
Yeah,
Israel.
And they were like freaking out.
Unable. Yeah. So, I don't know. Depends who you ask. If you want to ask me, I can have to tell you my position, but it is more of a warm recall. Okay, so that's and the last thing, and then we'll end, kind of give you guys a break. But either way, we saw when it comes to Kotzer, in terms of this question of removing something from like a source of growth. One possible way of answering it was to give the type of answer of, oh, we're going to limit this Gemara. The other way to do it is to kind of argue that, no, we're going to have to redefine the Malacha. And just like when it comes to Disha, it comes to extracting, the Malacha itself is only defined as you want the liquid. Tosfot argues, Kotzer, by definition, you need to want the product of the wood. Otherwise, it's not called Kotzer. So, the point being, I mean, we can talk more about Kotzer or Gozes or any of these malachot specifically, but in larger context, when it comes to malachot shenitzriach legufa, one discussion which we had last week was kind of defining the concept and when it comes up, when it doesn't come up. But just as important is anytime you learn these cases, is each case had like its own separate discussion of like what exactly is the malacha, and maybe you can redefine the malacha such that malachot shenitzriach legufa is no longer an issue. So the next topic I want to do when we come back after break, I want to do Davar Sheni Mitkaven, which is conceptually a lot easier. And Davar Sheni Mitkaven, the same type of thing might come up a lot. What we'll see is, like, oh, about Kavana, but, like, what exactly is the Malacha is going to be a big question in terms of the specifics on every question. So, either way, this kind of gives you a good sense in terms of the background of the Hilchot Shabbos in terms of, like, the type of things that come up. Let me know if you do want to talk about bathing specific. We can do it before Pesach or something.
Thank you.
So,